You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Results for Forest and Birds Coveted Bird of the Year Awards were announced this morning, with the kakapo taking out the top spot.
Nice.
Yes.
Is that who you voted for?
It is who I voted for. It was my top pick. This year was the competition's most popular year so far, with 55,583 votes cast, up from 43,460 last year.
Oh, nice.
I have a chat to Laura Keown, Bird of the Year spokesperson, about the kakapo, the competition, and the importance of bringing awareness to our native birds. The kakapo is the first bird to take out the title of Bird of the Year twice. What does this prove of the bird's popularity, and why do you think Kiwis love it so much?
Kakapo is such a special bird. It's totally unique. It looks like moth. It can't fly. It's the only nocturnal parrot in the world. And, of course, it only lives in New Zealand, so it's ours to protect and care for. The kakapo is incredibly popular in every Bird of the Year competition, usually always featuring in the top 10. It came second in 2019, so it's no surprise that it's taken the top spot.
The kakapo's biggest competition this year was a very different bird, the Antipodean albatross. What do you think swung the competition in the kakapo's favour?
So the Antipodean albatross, incredible seabird, spends most of its life at sea and comes to New Zealand to breed, and sub-Antarctic islands to breed. That albatross species got the most number one preferred votes of any bird in the competition, possibly because it's so iconic and it had a lot of international support. But the kakapo, it really took the win because so many people put it in their top five. So as soon as the preferential voting was applied, this STV-style ranking system where if your number one bird doesn't get the win, that your vote's transferred to your next choice, kakapo just ran away with the competition. It really had way more votes than the albatross at the end of the day.
Now, this isn't the first time our kakapos have gained themselves some pretty viral publicity. Do you believe the 2009 Stephen Fry video is set to do the rounds again?
Mm-hmm. I hope so, because that video is so funny. It's over 10 years old, and I still laugh every time I see it. Yeah, the kakapo, and that was Sirocco the kakapo, getting frisky with one of the BBC zoologist's heads. And it's a very hilarious video. It makes Sirocco come across as a bit dopey, but really...
Do you think it illustrates the friendly nature of the bird, to put it that way?
Well, yeah, no doubt our, kakapo are so unique, and they evolved in such special circumstances that they became sort of giant and flightless, and they have all these curious behaviors, including sometimes not quite knowing where to direct their mating energy, and sometimes choosing people's heads or other objects as the objects of their affection. But I just think it's really fun. And that kakapo video, it sort of went around the world. And when people all over the planet get to see our native birds and love them and think that they're funny and great, it just increases the responsibility on us Kiwis to make sure that we protect them, preserve their habitat, and make sure that, we take care of them for future generations.
Because these birds are currently very much endangered, with only 213 left after they were brought back from the brink of extinction. And they're currently only able to survive on predator-free islands. So what do you think it's going to take for the kakapo to be reintroduced around the country?
Yeah, that would be a dream scenario if kakapo were able to live as they did before the introduction of mammalian predators, to live all over Aotearoa, New Zealand. So what it would take is basically a predator-free New Zealand. Because kakapo are flightless and they nest on the ground and they're very slow breeders, their nest sites are extremely vulnerable to predators like stoats and rats and cats. And even the adult birds, even though they're big and heavy, they can be killed by cats and other predators that they're not evolved to sort of defend themselves from. So that would be the number one step that Aotearoa needs to take, is to create a predator-free New Zealand. And, you know, I think we can do it. It's been an ambition of successive governments to make a commitment to eradicating predators in New Zealand. And that's the way that we can really make our mainland islands safe for incredible rare species like kakapo.
Do you feel confident with our ability to stay on track for a predator-free Aotearoa by 2050?
I sure hope so. And there is the way that the kakapo has recovered from the brink of extinction shows that with enough scientific expertise and long-term commitment, we really can achieve incredible things with our conservation efforts in Aotearoa. And all of the other birds in New Zealand, we need to take care of their habitats and make sure that they don't become in such a dire state that we need to invest in them to the level that we've invested in kakapo. We really set the bar in New Zealand especially for eradicating invasive species. So that I have high hopes, and I have, I have a dream of the future where our mainland islands are covered in our unique native birds that now are relegated to those offshore islands.
Now, this year's competition wasn't without its scandal, with 1,500 fraudulent votes for the little spotted kiwi having to be pulled from the competition. This isn't the first time there's been a bit of foul play involved. Do you reckon this just shows how passionate people are about their favourite birds? And are you guys now pretty confident with the systems you have in place to detect illegitimate votes?
Yeah, I have to assume that, you know, people are trying to influence the vote because they love our native species so much. They really want their bird to win. Every year we try to increase the security measures and add verifications and voting layers. And every year people try to use some tricks to get around it, which sometimes they succeed, but we typically can see those fraudulent voting patterns in the data behind the scenes. So it's pretty easy for us to pick up. And we have an awesome volunteer from Dragonfly Data Science who's basically an environmental data scientist. He usually analyzes fisheries bycatch data and other like amazing native bird numbers. And he does this for Bird of the Year just because he thinks it's fun and he's a bit of a data nerd. And it's easy for him to see when there's fraudulent voting patterns or votes flooding in all from the same IP address. Yeah, I'm very confident in the sort of election integrity of Bird of the Year.
I mean, it is sort of a surprising place to be looking at voter fraud. And the fact that it's reoccurring as well is quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit upsetting that we have to take these measures to make sure people don't cheat. But, I think we've got a pretty solid sort of scrutineering team keeping an eye on things. And we just do our best to make sure that we keep it fun and light and people want to get attention for our birds. That's the whole point of the competition, because more people who know about our birds and want to protect them, then it doesn't matter who comes out on top, all the birds are winners.
And yeah, because this year looks to have been the most popular year of the competition, with an unprecedented amount unprecedented amount of votes. So how do you kind of hope to keep this momentum running through the next year till the next competition and just keep Kiwis engaged in their interest in our native birds?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I'm so excited about that, that we have a record number of votes this year. People, even in the midst of, election fatigue, you might say, still engaged in record numbers in voting for Bird of the Year. It's so cool that people love and care about nature in Aotearoa. So, I mean, that's Forest and Bird's job all year round. We are advocating for nature at the highest levels in Parliament and local government, in our courts, and we also have conservation projects on the ground around the country where we're restoring and protecting habitats. So we just hope that giving people a glimpse into how special and incredible our native birds are through Bird of the Year is, you know, the gateway to them engaging with conservation in their own communities and keeping abreast of things like things at the government level as well.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was Laura Kuhn on this year's Bird of the Year competition. Forest and Bird would like to continue to encourage people to visit the Bird of the Year website, where you can still learn more about the special birds that call New Zealand home.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.